All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're just going to be discussing the team activities, the Microsoft team activities that we're involved in these days from our day-to-day work life. So myself, Michael, and Dino are consultants, and Curtis works for Quest Software, so he's got the different viewpoint from a software development side of things as well. So maybe I'll pass it over to Dino and let us know sort of what you've been experiencing with your clients in the world of Microsoft Teams and some of the challenges you're trying to get through.
Yeah, thanks. So most recently, I've been spending a lot of time doing a lot of actual project planning around helping a large enterprise move to Teams. So, you know, initially I thought, okay, this shouldn't be that difficult of a task, but it's actually quite one that's quite involved. So probably, you know, we were talking before we went on camera, you know, into probably 25 hours now, I've been meeting with a project manager and we've been trying to come up with all the tasks that are related to move this enterprise into to Teams only mode, for example. So, you know, and just to set some context, this particular organization is, you know, running all workloads. So they've got enterprise voice deployed. They're using response groups in Skype for Business. They're using auto attendance in the cloud. They've got 911 phones deployed. So very mature Skype for Business organization. So if you can imagine, there's, you know, a lot of different things when you start to actually start putting the planning tasks on paper, there's a lot of things you have to consider and really, really understand. Like, you know, for example, and this would have been something that you would have gone through in moving organizations to Skype as well. But, you know, moving an EA and their boss together, because, you know, you can't put one in Teams only and have the other one in Skype for Business. So you've got to go through these business process exercises of understanding the groups of users. Otherwise, you're going to run into trouble. Same thing with response groups. You know, you can't start moving someone to Teams if the entire group of people using that response group isn't moved at the same time. Of course, you've got to build out that functionality in the cloud and the organization auto tender and call queue and make sure it works. So you've got all the planning around that. So then, you know, just to give you a little taste of what's involved here, it's not a trivial exercise. So, you know, it was very, very interesting to do that and to go through that. It's not complete yet. So, you know, maybe we'll circle back and talk about this a bit later. So, you know, and next, I think we're passing it on to, who are we passing it on to, Hab?
Michael.
Yeah, so most of my days are, you know, enabling direct routing for Teams, so bringing in that telephony as an alternative to calling plans in Microsoft Teams, and it's really showing that voice is just a commodity, right? So a lot of the effort to deal with Teams kind of happens before you get to the point where you're just turning on the dial pad, but we are seeing a lot of work happening or a lot of questions coming in with the new auto tenants and call queues and kind of understanding those changes and those licensing ramifications. Outside of the direct routing space, I've been spending a lot of time doing speaking or prepping for speaking demos and presentations and stuff like that. So I was in Vancouver just recently doing a Teams development workshop where I was presenting on the SharePoint framework and apps and Teams and Power Apps and Flow. I'm actually doing a lunch and learn for Flow around adaptive cards. So surfacing those adaptive cards in Teams and maybe as an alternative for approval processes from the native Flow approvals. And then also I have some Teams Tech Talks, one in Calgary and Vancouver I'm also prepping for. So I've modified my Teams room system, or my Microsoft Teams rooms, so that it's portable. So I've swapped out some of the components, like, and, you know, easily pack that up to the Microsoft Office. So I'm building out those demos, dealing with analytics and governance around Teams channel creation, files, lifecycle, and then all the extensibility side around bots. I've created some bots around document generation, team creation using cognitive services and Flow. So should be some pretty good sessions. Kind of looking forward to those. So maybe I'll pass it off to Kurt.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. What's going on? So yeah, I work for a company called Quest Software, and the exciting things from a Teams perspective is we see our customers adopting Teams a lot more. It's definitely coming out of its infancy and being adopted quite rapidly. So I've been involved in a few Quest products which help customers deploy, manage, and get the most out of Teams. And one of the ones is called Quest On-Demand Group Management, and it helps manage Office 365 groups the whole life cycle. And that's been interesting because I've been involved somewhat on the API side of it, and specifically with Graph. And for those who don't know, Graph is an API that you can use to manage all different aspects of Teams, channels, owners. And Microsoft is investing more and more in those APIs, and we're looking at building some more solutions for Teams based on those APIs. And there's some exciting things coming down the pipe that I can't talk about, but will be released in the future. Also, I've been looking at different Teams rooms systems, like Michael has. I'm sort of early on in that effort in evaluating all the different options, but there's about six or seven that are certified now. There's units from Creston, Logitech, Yealink, HP, Lenovo, to name a few. So I mean, they're all basically the same type of functionality, but they vary with the types of cameras and mics, and different ones work better for different sizes of rooms. So looking forward to actually nailing that down, getting that that ordered. And also, one interesting thing at Quest, what I've been seeing is we started off in Islands mode, which really, you know, the lesson I gained from that was it's really predicated on the end user running both clients at the same time, which doesn't happen for any extended period of time. So we went to Skype for Business collab mode, which is an upgrade mode, which allows end users to receive all their incoming chats and calls in Skype for Business, but use Teams for all the collaboration channels, Teams, messages, and meetings. And that's generally worked well as people have transitioned over to Teams and Teams only mode. One of the really interesting things, though, is I get a lot of users in that Skype for Business collab mode mystified that they can't chat in the Teams client. So that chat icon is just missing, which is usually a good conversation to flip them over to Teams only mode. But that's definitely one takeaway I've learned the last couple of months. And Dino, I think on a recent project, you sort of had the same experience, right? With that upgrade mode?
Yeah, same. I mean, people really want to consume chat immediately. And, you know, you got to get into that whole conversation. It's like, well, the only way to do that is to keep you in Islands mode and sort of toggle the levers to turn off other functionality, and that's really not a great experience to do that. So you've got to wait, because chat is coupled with voice and you get it in Teams only. So in some cases, what's going to happen is it's going to expedite the Teams only mode for the organization, as they'll see the value in chat and they just want to get there quicker, so they'll make things happen to get to that mode.
Yeah, it's definitely what I've seen. It's expedited the number of people going to Teams only mode. So.
Yeah, and I guess from my side of things, I'm sort of working a lot more on the, I guess as Curtis and I talked about before, putting some guardrails on the Teams superhighway, you know, ensuring that customers, the clients are able to utilize Teams for its functionality, creating Teams on their own, managing the Teams on their own, but being able to apply the security and compliance and that functionality, and maybe even, you know, having only the approved applications be available in the store and that type of functionality, just to ensure that, you know, it complies with the company policies and stuff like that. So, and then there's some, you know, some other, there's another client that, you know, we deployed teams a couple of different times. One, because it was in the wrong data center, and now we moved it over from the US to Canada. So then we had to, delete everything and start over. And then there was, we started off in a more restrictive mode and it didn't get utilized as best as possible. So now we're sort of rethinking how we're going to retool that and just provide sort of like an open ability for collaboration. And like I said, put some guardrails on from that perspective. And then on the voice side, so I'm doing a project as well on the voice where the new auto attendant functionality sort of is a learning experience, I would say, just because of the resource accounts and the licensings that are required for creating an auto attendant. And then the routing capabilities and stuff like that you're going to need, and some of the features are currently there. So you're going to need to have like another user with call forward only if you want to have an option in your auto attendant to send a call to an external number. So I know there's certain things that are going to be coming, but these are some workarounds, some challenges that we're sort of working through from that perspective, right? And then understanding, what does it mean from a meeting room perspective? Prior, you would have to have additional add-on licenses in order to license a meeting room effectively in Skype for Business or Teams. But there's a new meeting room license that gives you the phone system, Skype for Business, Plan 2, a Teams license, and also an Intune license to manage the Teams device if you're using it in that mode. But it ends up being cheaper if you buy that license if you're still using Skype for Business online. So that, ends up being, I guess a relative nice bundle when you're deploying meeting room. So these are just some of the different challenges that we're sort of working through and things that I've been working through. I think this was a really good chat. Really just sort of discussing how we've been using and or working with our clients or from a Curtis perspective development side of things for our customer base, and really give you some real world examples of some of the things that we're trying to go through and some things you have to think about when you're deploying Microsoft Teams. So thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks. Yeah.